Hello everyone, this is the translation of Pascal Girard's message for Easter Sunday, the 4th of April, 2021. Jesus is risen. We shall read from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. Firstly, here are some introductory thoughts. The Lord is risen. Jesus is alive. This is the best message that can be proclaimed in this world. Jesus did not stay in the tomb after his crucifixion, but he rose from the dead. Thus, Jesus conquered man's greatest enemy, death. Or in other words, the kingdom of the dead could not hold back Jesus, and therefore Jesus is stronger than the kingdom of the dead. Through his resurrection, he has power over this kingdom. Jesus himself said, "I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Revelations chapter 1, verses 17 to 18. Yet the importance of the resurrection is not understood by everyone. Not everyone thinks it is important to know whether Jesus was really resurrected or not. The main thing would be that we believe in Jesus. The resurrection is a subject that can be discussed. One person sees it that way, another person sees it differently. But if Jesus was not resurrected, which Jesus do we believe in? If Jesus is not resurrected, then we believe in a dead God. But if we are to take biblical statements seriously, there is only one correct opinion about the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead and left the tomb with his resurrection body. In the tomb, there is no body. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, Christian faith would have no meaning. It might serve to satisfy a religious need, but nothing more. The importance of Jesus' resurrection is clearly expressed by the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Corinth. He writes, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost." 1 Corinthians 15, 17 to 18. Christian faith would only have meaning in this world, but in the hereafter, in eternity, it would be meaningless. If Jesus had not been resurrected, we would find ourselves at the end of our life as deceived. There would be no heaven for us, only hell. Our sins would not be forgiven. There would be no resurrection of the dead, no heaven, no glory, no mansions that Jesus prepared for us. There would only be loss. This is why Paul says, "If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32. There would be no point in focusing your life on Jesus if he had remained in the grave. But because we know that Jesus came out of his tomb, for us Easter is the feast of joy. Jesus is risen. Of course, I can understand that people find it difficult to accept the idea that a deceased person is lifted up and then resurrected. After all, none of us have experienced a personal resurrection, I think. Even the disciples found it very hard to believe that Jesus had left the tomb and had been resurrected. Deep doubts dominated them, even though they had witnessed a resurrection of the dead in Lazarus. How great these doubts were, and we will see it today in the example of the disciple Thomas. I will first read the text of the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Point number one. This can't be true. Thomas was not an indifferent and neglectful disciple. With total dedication, he followed and served Jesus. He was ready to risk his life for and with Jesus. When Jesus was about to put himself in a dangerous situation, he said to the other disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." John 11, verse 16. We cannot follow Jesus with more dedication. But after the execution of their master, the disciples were overcome with immense sadness. Like a scattered flock without a shepherd, they wandered. They must expect to be persecuted, tormented, and even stoned by the Jews. John reports, the disciples were together in a house, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Despite the locked doors, Jesus entered this room the Sunday following the crucifixion. Thomas was away at the time, and we don't know where he was. Maybe he needed some time apart to deal with his grief. Thomas later met the disciples, who enthusiastically told him about their encounter with Jesus. They told him how Jesus showed them the stigmata on his hands and his side. Thomas probably thought it was impossible. He couldn't and wouldn't believe something his imagination refused to believe. He didn't want to believe until he saw Jesus with his own eyes and could touch his wounds. I can understand Thomas very well. We probably would have reacted the same way. It's not uncommon for us to act like Thomas. Even though we know Jesus, we desire special signs from him to prove his love for us. Above all, we want to see and touch Jesus, like Thomas. We would like to see who we put our trust in. But we can't. Paul says that, "For we live by faith, not by sight." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. I believe that wanting to look and touch, and not just rely on what God tells us in the Bible, can lead to a dangerous path. At this point, one takes the risk of becoming sensitive to false doctrines of all kinds. The proof of God's love for us is found in God's act of love. Paul writes that God proves his love for us in that, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. There is no greater proof of his love. There is no greater love. By his death on the cross, God showed us the immeasurable greatness of his love for us. Point number 2. It's only now that you believe. Jesus had some understanding of Thomas's need, but Thomas had to wait another week before Jesus met him. Again, Jesus enters the room where the disciples were, although the doors were locked. This time, Thomas was also with the disciples. They didn't rule him out because he didn't believe in them. They knew each other well, and each of them did not believe in Jesus' resurrection until they had seen him, and he had shown them the traces of his wounds. They did not believe the women who saw Jesus when they reported that the tomb was empty. The apostles thought it was just empty words. They did not believe Mary Magdalene either, who told them that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him. None of the disciples could boast of having exemplary faith. They will therefore have understood Thomas's reaction. Jesus walked into the room and the first thing he said was, "Peace be with you." How nice it is when the Lord of Lords comes to the frightened disciples and the first thing he gives them is his peace. No rebuke, no sermon, no reproach, just peace be with you. How much this small group of fearful and helpless people who felt threatened from different sides needed to receive the peace of the Lord. When Jesus meets his friends, he brings this deep peace with him. It is not world peace that Jesus brings, but peace with the Creator God. By sacrificing himself on the cross, Jesus removed our guilt and thus made reconciliation with God possible. And precisely this reconciliation brings us this profound peace. We can therefore consider that this promise of Jesus to his disciples also concerns us personally. Peace be with you. Jesus wants to bring peace in our life. When you meet Jesus, you meet the peacemaker. God always has thoughts of peace for those who love him. God told his people, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Now Jesus turns directly to Thomas. He knows very well that his doubts are gnawing at him. Jesus urges him, put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Jesus knew Thomas's desire. It would seem logical that Thomas put his hand on Jesus' wounds, but the Apostle John relates it in such a way that one has the impression that Thomas did not touch Jesus at all, but he fell to the ground worshipping him and crying out, my Lord and my God. All doubt was removed in an instant. Now everything is clear to him. Jesus, my Lord, he is God, my God, my Lord and my God. So Jesus challenges Thomas to no longer be an unbeliever, but to be a believer. It doesn't signify anything else, only that the Christian faith can only be real faith when I believe that Jesus is risen. Only then do I recognize who Jesus is. Only then do I believe in the true living God. Faith in a Jesus who died is not real faith, nor saving faith. Only those who believe in the risen Jesus can be saved. This is why Paul wrote to the Christians of Rome, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is worrying that even in Christian circles, this extraordinary important fact of our faith is sometimes denied. Some say that the resurrection was an idea of the disciples and of the early churches, who thus overcame their grief and bewilderment. Those who think this do not believe in the living God. Jesus was truly risen, as the accounts of the disciples prove. Oddly, we can be grateful to Thomas and the other disciples for so stubbornly refusing to believe that Jesus was resurrected. This shows us that they would not have let themselves be convinced by any old idea. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to touch him. They would have resisted a made-up story. That's guaranteed. Thomas, moreover, would not have accepted that the body of Jesus had been stolen, as feared by the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked Pilate that the tomb of Jesus be guarded until the third day, lest the disciples steal the body, and then say that he was risen. Matthew 27, verse 64. Jesus was risen. He had left his grave, and he is now seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven. Point number 3. Nevertheless, happy is he who believes. Jesus told the disciples how the church would grow in the future. To Thomas he said, because you have seen me, you have believed. This is a clear rebuke, as Thomas did not behave in an exemplary manner. Jesus had rebuked the other disciples before. The evangelist Mark reported that Jesus appeared to the 11 while they were at the table and rebuked them for their unbelief and incomprehension, and rebuked them because they did not want to believe those who had seen him after his resurrection. Not only was Thomas a bad example, but all the disciples were bad examples too. In the future, we will not be able to see Jesus. Salvation is only possible by believing the witnesses of the resurrection. This is why Jesus said to Thomas and the disciples present, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. In the future, the disciples of Jesus, without having seen him, will believe in him. This is how the church will grow. Therefore, Peter would write later, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter 1:8-9. The apostles are the witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus, and we believe because of their testimony. Faith is propagated by the preaching of the apostles. We cannot, like Thomas, wait for Jesus to appear to us and only believe when we have touched him. Those who believe in Jesus without having seen him can count themselves among the lucky ones. Today we trust the testimony of those apostles who themselves were slow to believe that Jesus was resurrected. Their testimony can be convincing precisely because they did not believe until they saw and eventually touched the risen one. Now they are witnesses for us, and we trust their testimony. This is what we read in the book of Hebrews. So how can we ourselves escape punishment if we neglect? How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. This testimony was written down in the Bible. Here is the conclusion. The resurrection is one of the most important cornerstones of our faith. If we were to question the resurrection of Jesus, we would be questioning all faith. If Jesus were not resurrected, we would all be lost and still in our sins. We couldn't stand at judgment day, but now we can confess with Paul. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 and 55. That should be reason enough to rejoice. Jesus conquered death. Through him we are set free for life. With Peter we can say with gratitude, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." 1 Peter 1, verse 3.